This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org for more details.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson, and with me for the very first time are
Kay Shaw and
Zachary Fruling.
So those of you who are faithful listeners of To The Journey will notice that we are not Shaw and Tristan. After 4 years and 190 great episodes of To The Journey, Shaw and Tristan have branched out and they've started a new podcast called Punch It, which is on Tristan's network, The Nerd Party. Over there, you'll find them doing some great stuff on their writing. It's a podcast about writing and pop culture where they were going to expand out from some of the stuff they've been doing on To The Journey.
So we thought we'd take a minute to introduce ourselves for those of you who haven't heard us before. All three of us have been around the Trek FM network for quite a long time now. We're all fans of Voyager. We're all longtime listeners of Trek FM and To The Journey in particular. But before we do that, we wanted to take a moment to thank Shaw and Tristan for everything they've done for the Trek FM network and how much they've enriched all of our lives. Shaw and Tristan were around the Trek FM network since the very beginning, for the past 5 years and 4 years with To The Journey. For me personally, it means a lot to take over hosting of To The Journey. To The Journey was the second podcast I ever listened to. The first was The Ready Room. The second was To The Journey. I've been listening for about 2 or 3 years now. And for years, To The Journey was like the soundtrack of my commute. I would get in my car in Vacaville, California, and I'd drive over to San Francisco, and I would listen to Shaw and Tristan talk about everything I loved about Voyager. And they became my sort of friends in the car. And then, you know, over time, as I became involved with the Trek FM network and eventually started hosting my own other show, I'm the co-host of Metatrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, I became friends with them as people. You know, I got to know Shaw and I got to know Tristan, and I never would have guessed in a million years that I would be co-hosting To The Journey and taking over their co-hosting duties. I hope we can do a fraction of what they did with To The Journey. So I'm really, really excited. I'd like to hear a bit from you, Suzanne, and you, Kay, about your history with To The Journey and how we all came together. And then let's dive into talking some Voyager.
Sounds good. I actually, the first podcast I ever listened to was To The Journey, and it was at a very dark point in my life, unfortunately, but listening to Shaw and Tristan and the laughter that they brought to every episode, it helped lighten my heart and get me through what was a very difficult time. So I appreciate them, I appreciate the laughter and everything that they've done for this network. And through listening to The Journey, I got involved with The Ready Room, and eventually some of the 602 Club episodes. And I've been with this network for almost 3 years now, and it's been such a ray of sunshine in my life.
Well, that's really great, Suzanne. It's nice to hear when other people have really great experiences with the network as well. I actually came to Trek FM after I'd been doing a Deep Space Nine rewatch. So the first show I heard was The Orb. But I quickly picked up on a lot of the other shows, and being a really big Voyager fan, I homed in onto The Journey quite quickly. And just the vibe on the show is really fantastic. Shaw and Tristan, as we all know, you know, they did some really great work, and I really, really enjoyed listening to them for the last probably about a year. I've been listening to Trek FM now, so I really enjoyed all of their episodes, and it's really exciting to be picking up and being able to talk about Voyager now that they've decided to move on to broaden their horizons a little bit.
We should say that there's just no way we can replace Char and Tristan, nor would we ever try. I can't be Tristan. You guys can't be Char. We're each going to be our own individuals, and we're going to do what we can to do the best of To the Journey, keep the spirit of To the Journey alive, keep the spirit of the Voyager family alive, keep the spirit of the Trek FM network, but we're going to be ourselves. I think we're planning to do some of the things that Char and Tristan did. I want to do episode rewrites, and I want to do episode commentaries, and I want to share all of our deep thoughts on everything Voyager. In fact, I want to pick apart Voyager. I want to talk about things no one else has ever thought to talk about, and I want to do it with the same energy that Char and Tristan had. And if we could do that together, even a fraction of the quality that they brought to The Journey, we'll be doing a good job. So we really want to thank Char and Tristan for setting the model, doing an awesome job, inspiring us to start podcasting, enriching our lives and enriching our fandom, becoming our friends, and giving us their blessing to take over To the Journey. We should say that we had a very nice blessing from Char and Tristan to take over To the Journey. When they decided to start their own podcast, Punch It, over on the Nerd Party, they encouraged us to take the show, make it our own, and do what we could with it. And we're going to do it with them in mind, knowing that they're listening and knowing that we have their blessing to keep talking Voyager and bringing the spirit of To the Journey to all of you out there.
Definitely. Thank you, Char and Tristan, for everything.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for how really wonderfully gracious you've been in welcoming us on board to a show that's been yours for so long. So, guys, how about we let people know about how we've all come to Star Trek in general and Voyager in particular? I actually have been a Star Trek fan for pretty much my whole life. I think TNG started broadcasting over here in the UK when I was about 8, and that really was my first foray into Star Trek, and I think I pretty much fell in love with it from the first episode. Although TNG was actually the only Star Trek that I saw completely in first run. I'd seen episodes of various of the other shows, but it was only actually a few years ago that I came back to watch Voyager in its entirety. And similarly to what you were saying, Suzanne, it was at quite a bad time in my life. I'd gone through quite a tough breakup, and I was going out and living on my own basically for the first time. And Voyager really, really got me through that. You know, there's some great stuff in there. I'm not going to go into too much detail now, but, you know, as time goes on, we'll talk about this more and more. But I think there are an awful lot of great things to take from Voyager that can help you through some tough stuff. I know Char and Tristan have talked about this before, and we're going to talk about it a lot more. So how about you guys?
Well, I think it's amazing that we have such similar stories. For me, in terms of Star Trek in general, I remember watching I'm trying to think of my earliest memory of watching Star Trek. And for me, it's watching Star Trek with my dad when I was a really little kid. I remember watching Kirk fight the Gorn in Arena, that kind of thing. Just a couple specific scenes and episodes. And then there was a huge gap, and then there was The Next Generation. And for the first couple seasons of The Next Generation, I was not clued into The Next Generation. I picked it up like with season 3 and 4, like when a lot of people discovered The Next Generation. And for most of my teenage years into my college years, I was a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Next Generation fan, TNG all the way. And I remember when Voyager premiered, I was really excited because The Next Generation had just ended. There was going to be a new Star Trek show. DS9 had been on the air for a couple years, and I wasn't really clued into Deep Space Nine. For me at the time, it was a little dark, and I just wasn't excited about it. And along comes Voyager. And I actually have this vivid memory of watching the first episode of Voyager, Caretaker, on my grandmother's sort of 1950s ginormous tube television. It had red and green, you know, color controls on it. It was this, you know, boat anchor of a television. You know, I probably thought Voyager was blue because the color was off. You know, not that the ship was actually a different color. So I vividly remember watching Voyager. And then I watched Caretaker, and then it didn't really resonate for me, and I totally didn't clue into Voyager. And it's amazing that I'm here, you know, with you guys hosting To the Journey, because if you had told me 21 years ago now that Voyager was going to be my favorite Star Trek series, I would have said, you're nuts, not a chance in hell, not in a million years. And what happened for me is that I started grad school, and I was living not by myself. I was living with a couple of roommates in Santa Cruz at the graduate student housing at UC Santa Cruz. And I didn't have cable, and the only Star Trek I could get on television was Voyager. And I started watching. Before I knew it, I was watching it all the time, and it really resonated with me. And it just kind of became my favorite series. And then, you know, as time went on, Like you guys, there have been times in my life when I got in really sort of dark, negative places, and Voyager was a big piece of the puzzle. I would put Voyager on as kind of therapy at the end of the night to decompress and process and have some sense of family and some sense of calmness. And To the Journey actually served that same role. You know, Voyager was a calming aspect in my life, and To the Journey has been, you know, that same kind of familial friendship presence in my life over the last couple of years. So I'm totally stoked to be here talking about Voyager and with you guys on To the Journey. I can't believe this turn of events.
Well, like you, Zach, I got started early watching Star Trek, the original series, with my dad. First episode I can remember watching with him was Squire of Gothos, Trelane. I was hooked. So I every Saturday there would be reruns that would come on. So I'd sit down, watch it with my dad. It was a great bonding experience for me to have something that we could share. Then Next Gen comes on. My parents did not watch Next Gen. My dad was staunch, this isn't Star Trek, blah blah blah. And my mom referred to
Kirk, right?
My mom referred to Picard as the bald guy. I didn't get it. So, being I was not in charge of the remote control during those years, I didn't watch Next Gen until many years later. And because of that, I also didn't branch out into Deep Space Nine. But here comes Voyager. Woman in charge, I have to watch this. I mean, really, there's a female and she's in charge. You have to listen to her. And nobody questions it. I was blown away. I was like, this is amazing. First scene in Caretaker that she shows up, I was just hooked. It's like Kate Mulgrew, gorgeous woman, tiny woman, but she just exudes this power. And from then on, every night Voyager was on, I was in my room, my own TV, shut the door, leave me alone. You bug me, I'm going to hurt you.
Are you saying that even without black coffee, Janeway is still a force to be reckoned with?
Oh, yeah. That makes her more of a force to be reckoned with because you're in between her and the coffee.
Yeah, would you want to deal with her in the morning, Zachary, before she's had a coffee? I wouldn't.
Now, I noticed that there's something we all have in common that we didn't mention. There's a certain ship that we love.
I give you a hint, it's not Voyager.
I was going to say, it's not Voyager. Well, we do love Voyager, but not just Voyager.
It's the Janeway Chakotay ship.
Yeah, no, this is a really important point. One thing that we clued into really early when we started talking about taking on To the Journey together is that we're all shippers. We love Janeway and Chakotay. Maybe more than Char and Tristan do.
Yeah, I actually have a funny story about this. When I first started watching Voyager, obviously I was already aware of some of the stuff that had gone on, some of the characters, and also the fact that there was this big Janeway Chakotay thing. And at the time, I was sort of like, oh, why do we always have to have this thing where there's a man and a woman and they always have to be, you know, romantically involved. They can't just be friends. And I was like really resistant to the idea to start with. I watched right up to, I think, well, Resolutions, I still wasn't entirely convinced. I still managed to resist
what?
It at that point. Yeah, I know. And then I just, at some point, it just went and yeah, I couldn't.
Boy, if you could have seen your future
they
self.
Got me. They trapped me and they got me. Yeah, so.
Yeah, they hooked me in the episode The Cloud, where, you know, Chakotay's laying out all of his paraphernalia. He's going to take her on a vision quest. They're sitting down in her ready room holding hands. I was like, oh, yeah, that's my ship right there.
Oh, yeah.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Then, of course, the ending of that episode, Commander, your stick. Hello.
Yes.
They're spelling it out for you right there.
See, I would have if it wasn't for the fact that I'd already got this thing where I'd gone, no, they can totally just be friends. Yeah. A man and a woman can totally just be friends. These two. No, not these two.
Not on Voyager.
Not these two.
Resistance is futile.
To another man and a woman can just be friends, but not Janeway and Chakotay.
Exactly.
But for us, it doesn't stop there. We take our shipper unison to a whole new level. The three of us don't just like Janeway and Chakotay. We're also Team Doctor and Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Now, not everyone is. This is a little controversial, right? Some people think that's a little creepy because Seven of Nine, you know, is not fully developed in her emotional capacity, right? She's learning to be human. So some people really get weirded out by Doctor and Seven, but all of us seem to be on the same page that we think they're a pretty good match.
But if Doctor and Seven were weird, wasn't Chakotay Seven even weirder?
We said, Suzanne, we weren't going to talk about that.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
You know that pretending it never happened thing?
It never happened. Never.
What never happened?
Oh, I have no idea. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the Doctor and Seven.
Oh, the Doctor and Seven.
Yeah.
They sing so beautifully together.
They do. See, I don't really find it creepy in that way, because I actually feel the same thing about the Doctor. You know, I feel like he, mm-hmm. because he's been programmed to be like Lewis Zimmerman, his creator, and he sort of almost comes to life manifest, if you like, with all this sort of character already, and it's easy to forget that actually he's learning, you know, and he's a very new person in just the same way as Seven is. So I find that actually they're a really great match in that way, because that's a journey that they can go on together. You know, they've both got a lot to learn and they've got a lot to teach each other.
With one exception, the Doctor's ego came pre-inflated.
Yeah.
that was built in, right?
Yeah, the ego was so large it made no room for the bedside manner.
So as we were thinking about what we might do on this first episode of To the Journey, we really want you listeners out there to get to know us. Some of you know us already from our other interactions with Trek FM and in the Babel Conference, Trek FM's listeners discussion group on Facebook, but some of you don't know us. So I thought what we could do is just kind of run through the list of interesting, controversial things in Voyager, things that are unique to Voyager that people have strong opinions on. You guys could get to know us, we could get to know each other a little better, and we could just put all of our cards on the table in one fell swoop. So you know who we are. You know we're one of you. We're a Voyager. We're a To the Journeyer. And we want you guys to feel confident that we can take over. Because frankly, in Star Trek, new people taking over the ship don't have a good track record, right? We have Jellico taking over the Enterprise. That was kind of a disaster. We have Tuvok taking command of Voyager in Resolutions. People didn't like Tuvok.
They didn't even bother giving him the uniform.
Right. That's right. He gets to be a captain in a yellow uniform, yep. Right? But so people taking over ships don't have a good track record in Star Trek. We want to build some confidence that we can do this To the Journey thing together and that it's going to be okay. Okay, so we kind of laid our cards on the table about Janeway and Chakotay. We've talked about the Doctor and Seven of Nine. We've kind of indicated we don't like Chakotay and Seven. That's understating it by quite a bit.
Oh,
you guys
yeah.
read between the lines. Let's keep going down the relationship or stuff and just see where we fall. What about Neelix and Kes?
Ew. 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 Just, here he is hooking up with this Ocampan girl. Because by all intents and purposes, she is a girl. And he's still
all of 1 year old or something, right?
Yeah, and he's still pursuing her. And he's, I don't know that we even know Neelix's age. But it's just the old guy, young girl kind of creepy thing. I mean, I could see them being friends, but to make it romantic, just pushed it over a little for me.
And I feel like they lay it on a little thick at the beginning of Voyager.
Yeah.
You know, he calls her, you know, pet names and whatnot. Exactly. And it never really worked for me. I don't know if I was ever really weirded out by it because, you know, she's not like a kid or anything. You know, she's 1 year old, but she's, you know, fully developed physically. So it didn't weird me out visually or anything. But it just never seemed to click. I just never thought they really had romantic chemistry. Even all those issues aside, I just mm-hmm. never thought their chemistry really worked for me. So I'm not a Neelix Kes fan. That doesn't work for me at all.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I didn't really feel that chemistry there between them. I think actually as sort of friends and almost as a sort of maybe even a sort of mentor-like relationship, it actually works reasonably well. I think actually Kes is great for Neelix in that way, because you know she's a really calming influence on him, because he can get a bit crazy.
Agitated?
Yeah, he can get a bit crazy.
He can go crazy jealous, right?
Well, exactly,
oh,
yeah.
Like with the hair pasta, throwing that at Tom.
Yeah, the spaghetti incident. So, yeah, I think she can be a great calming influence for him there. But, yeah, in terms of the actual romantic relationship, I'm not seeing it at all, really.
keeping on the Neelix portion, what about Neelix and Klingon women? What do you think about that, Zach?
Well, Neelix likes to play. He likes his Klingon women. But there's no other way to put it. Klingon women get on the ship, and Neelix is all about it. So,
well, can you blame him?
Well, it can be hazardous to your health.
Are you trying to get Zachary to put his cards down about his opinion of Klingon women?
Yes,
is that what
I
you're trying
am.
To do?
You know, they can be a little hazardous to your health. You know, they expect you to throw things at them and, you know, read Klingon love poetry and sing Klingon opera. You know, it's not really my bag.
And
but,
the regular
you know.
Trips to sick bay.
Separated shoulders. Yeah,
exactly.
I no, seriously, after seeing Neelix with Kes, which really didn't work, it's actually fun to see Neelix kind of loosen up and have fun. And, you know, there's a fun side to Neelix that I really like. You know, when there's a party, Neelix is about the party. He's the morale officer, right? He's not afraid to have a good time. And if that means hanging out with some Klingon women and doing whatever they're going to do, then he's all about it.
I'd definitely rather see him with them than with Kes anyway.
Agreed.
I don't know, it works better for me. So, what else? How about we have a little talk about Tom and Harry there? Not necessarily a romance, but definitely a bromance in there.
It could have been a romance.
Well, it could have been a romance.
What fan fiction have you been reading, Suzanne? Or writing,
you
for that matter?
Don't want to know. So much fan fiction. So much.
All of it.
No, I love the Tom and Harry bromance. I really do. Because for me, there are a few people in my own life that I have that kind of Tom and Harry relationship with, this implicit trust. It's always going to be fun. It's always going to be an adventure. You're always going to share something that you don't share with other people. And I got a few people like that in my life. I'm blessed to have more than one. Tom and Harry, I think, really kind of only have each other in that sense. They don't really bond with that many other people. But I can relate. I think that's an important part of being a guy around other guys. You know, they really aren't afraid to be themselves and share the adventure and become their own little, like you said, it's not a romance, it's a bromance. And I love seeing it.
Theirs was actually the only stable bromance on that ship from beginning to end. They were by each other's side.
You're so right.
But were there other bromances that could have been? That would be an interesting topic for To the Journey.
There
now.
Could have been a
missed opportunity for bromances.
I went a completely different direction there. Tuvok and Neelix.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, they're like a bromance in denial, right? You know, they really do like agitating each other and playing off of each other, but neither one of them really wants to admit it very much. And Neelix, I think, desperately wants Tuvok to like him, and Tuvok is not going to admit that he really likes Neelix more than he admits. I they're a bromance in shadows.
But he kind of admitted it at the end, saying goodbye to Neelix.
Yeah.
In his own way. And then also when he had his brain scrambled, and I believe the episode was Riddles, Tuvok befriended yes. Neelix because he needed help, and Neelix was right there for him the entire time.
So we've got Tuvok and Neelix. Are there other budding bromances on Voyager?
Harry, Kim, and nobody.
Yeah, poor Harry Kim. You know, he desperate. Other than Tom, he's got no one, right? He doesn't have the Delaney sisters.
He's got his clarinet.
Yeah, Harry Kim and his clarinet is playing a sad song, Echoes of the Void.
Even his Pip is lonely.
The loneliest Pip ever.
Yep.
But Harry Kim, he's not just unlucky in love, right? He's unlucky. He dies so many times, right? He's unlucky. He's lucky to be alive. So in that sense, he's lucky. But
Janeway dies more.
He's not the luckiest guy.
This is true.
That's right. I learned that on an episode of To the Journey. I never bothered to count. Thank you, Char and Tristan, for shedding light on this trivia tidbit.
Yeah. Although Janeway never actually dies, and then we get a different version of her for the next 5 series. Like we do with Harry, let's address that.
Well, that and Naomi.
Yes, and Naomi as well.
But weird is part of the job.
That is true. Weird is definitely part of the job on Voyager
in particular. Well, I should say, okay, that's a good segue, because Voyager does some weird stuff that you just don't get in other Star Trek series. I mean, Voyager is really wacky. It's got Fairhaven. It's got Bride of Chaotica. It's got, you know, alternate Harry Kim and Naomi Wildman. It's got weird stuff. And I love that. Threshold. I mean, think of all the things we could name that are so unique to Voyager that people either love or they hate. And this is the controversial where the rubber meets the road kind of stuff in Voyager. I tend to err on the side of liking the wackiness in Voyager. And I know that doesn't work for everyone. And some people, I think, really point to Voyager and say, this is too silly. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, I want something more realistic like Deep Space Nine, something more applicable to my daily life. I love this, you know, sort of friendly, optimistic wackiness that you get in Voyager. For me, it works.
It's very lighthearted and almost reminiscent of the original series to me. Because there were some serious things, but then there was also that lighthearted bit. Everybody's okay. Reset button, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got 70 years on the, you know, to get home to the Alpha Quadrant from the Delta Quadrant, you're going to have to fill that time somehow. People are going to start playing, you know, they're going to mm-hmm. Fill their hours with all kinds of crazy stuff. It'll be a long journey home otherwise. So I like seeing the different ways they fill their time and find meaning and excitement and interest in the Delta Quadrant.
Oh, there's some science over there. Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
No. There's coffee over there in that nebula. What are you talking about? Science. That's where the coffee is.
But that's how you get the coffee, is through the science.
This is true. And let's be sure never to let getting home faster get in the way of science.
Never.
So you're saying every time Janeway says, I'm a scientist, you know, I'm going to go study the whatever, she's really saying, I just want coffee.
That could be it, actually.
Pretty much.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, wouldn't you rather have coffee than Neelix is better than coffee substitute?
Oh, yeah.
Better than coffee, coffee substitute, yeah.
The most wonderful thing about that is her face. Just her face when he pours it out. That is a face that you never would believe somebody could pull until you see it there.
That's absolutely
priceless.
Okay, so far it sounds like we're on the same page about a lot of stuff. We like Janeway Chakotay, we like Doctor and Seven, we don't like Chakotay and Seven of Nine, we are not Team Neelix and Kes. We do like Neelix and Klingon women, that reveals a lot about us. We like the Tom Harry bromance, we feel bad for Harry Kim's bad luck, we wish he would get a little more action aboard Voyager, and we feel a little bad for him, but we don't agree on everything, I think. So I think if we keep going further down the list, we're going to get into some areas where we don't quite agree. The thing that comes immediately to mind is Fairhaven. See, that reaction says a lot right there. Suzanne is not Team Fairhaven, clearly. Suzanne, what's wrong with Fairhaven? I love Fairhaven personally. I think it's fun. It's interesting. It's lighthearted. We get to see characters outside their element. We get to learn something about Captain Janeway. I love Fairhaven personally, but you disagree.
There are two words that are completely wrong with Fairhaven, and they are Michael Sullivan. Michael Sullivan is what is wrong with Fairhaven because he interlopes into my Janeway Chakotay world and takes her away, and then the doctor says, yeah, go ahead, have a relationship with this dude. I don't think so. That's not what I signed up for.
Okay, I can understand that about short Michael Sullivan. What about the tall version of Michael Sullivan?
No version of Michael Sullivan. Do not delete the wife, ever.
keep the wife. So I'm going to drop down in the middle of this one, actually, because I don't love Fairhaven, but I don't entirely hate it either. I'm not so keen on the whole Michael Sullivan thing. You said that we learn something about Janeway. I think what we learn about Janeway is that she has some pretty interesting and slightly dodgy taste in men on occasion. Because he's a funny guy.
I think we learned that she's lonely. She needs companionship that she can't get elsewhere on Voyager. And I think, and it's not that I feel sorry for her. I think she needs some sort of relationship that she's not getting from anyone else on Voyager. And, you know, that's a relatable position,
but,
isn't it?
But she could get it from somebody else. He's there.
Well, yeah. Yes, she could. If they would just let their shields down.
Exactly. Let Chakotay into the docking bay.
Did you say let Chakotay into the docking bay?
I sure did. Take that however you'd like.
To put it metaphorically.
Was that a metaphor? I didn't notice.
Not really.
So anyway, Fairhaven. I think the thing really for me with Fairhaven is the fact that it all feels a bit out of left field. Like, I feel like most of the other programs that Tom comes up with, you can get a sense of where it's come from and how that reflects a part of Tom's personality. But for me, Fairhaven, it's like, where has this come from? It doesn't really seem to relate to anything else that we've seen. And it's the way that everybody else buys into it as well. I'm like, is there some kind of, you know, old Irish traditional thing in the future that everybody loves this that we've not heard about? It just seems very strange in that way.
It does feel a bit like they're trying to come up with clever ways to use the holodeck. Like, they can't quite settle on what exactly they want to do with it. Like, you know, they tried Sandrine's, they tried you know, Fairhaven, they tried the bit with Janeway and Da Vinci, and they just kept playing with the holodeck. They couldn't quite latch onto something that really worked. Of course, we get brilliant stuff like Bride of Chaotica, Captain Proton, which is awesome. In fact, I had that on the other day. We got a roommate staying with us right now, and I had Bride of Chaotica on, and she kind of pokes her head with, "What are you watching?" I said, "Oh, it's Star Trek." She's like, "That's Star Trek?" So yeah, it's Voyager, yes. And it's awesome. You got to watch this. So I love some of the stuff they do, but it does feel a bit like random. Like, why does Harry like, you know, Irish culture? I can understand Janeway coming up with Fairhaven, strangely yeah. enough, but I can't imagine why Harry Kim would come up with it.
Yeah, it's almost like it's there because they want to do the episode with Janeway and it makes sense for her, but it's not her that's come up with the idea. And I think that's why it feels a little bit strange in that way. But I do enjoy the Doctor in his sort of pastoral role there on his bike and sort of he was
so pious.
He was very pious.
So are we going to construct our own Fairhaven to the Journey rewrite? Is this something in the works?
Fairhaven Redux.
The wheels need to spin a little bit. We're not quite there. This is only our first episode of To the Journey together, but we're going to get there, and we're going to do an awesome rewrite of Fairhaven.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Oh, another thing I didn't get about Fairhaven is they went from one bar in Sandrine's to another bar in Fairhaven. Why not just stay with your original bar? I just didn't get it.
And frankly, if it's Janeway, wouldn't it be like a coffee bar, a coffee shop? Well, you know, wouldn't be an actual pub. She'd want a coffee shop. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
It could have been a Starbucks. Why not make it a Starbucks?
Space Starbucks. Okay, so we need to keep going through our list here. So what about some other things? Like, what about the episode Fury? Fury infuriates me. I cannot get through Fury myself. I have a hard time sitting through that episode. Where do you stand on Fury?
I really like the idea that they have Kes come back. But I really wish that they'd done it in a totally different way. It doesn't make sense for me. I don't understand how, you know, this character that we have come back in this episode is the Kes that we all know. And I don't really understand why they would do something like that and really sort of take her in a direction that isn't something that we recognize, especially when we haven't seen what's happened to her in the intervening period where it might be explained. So I really wish that they'd done something different with that. We'd brought Kes back and we'd done something quite different about the direction that she'd gone in.
I totally agree with that. I was very excited for Kes coming back, and then she arrives and this isn't my cast. This is not the character that said goodbye to us so beautifully and with such love. And now she's this, it did such a great disservice to the character that I was so disappointed.
And it didn't seem to serve any purpose. It's not like it was for any great reason.
No.
It sticks out as so arbitrary and so just dissatisfying. There's nothing to like about the way Kes was portrayed in that episode. There's nothing to like about what they did with it. It didn't mean anything. It's just kind of a throwaway episode in my mind.
It is, and then they don't really pick it up going forward. If there was some reason going forward for that to then have an impact on the crew that we saw in future episodes, maybe you could sort of accept it a bit more, because you could say, well, this is the reason they've done it, because it gives us all of this follow on, but we don't really see any of that. It's just some more guilt for Janeway.
Like she doesn't
like
have
she
enough.
Needed some more.
So there's so many things about Voyager that we could talk about, right? I want to talk about with you guys over the next many episodes of To the Journey. I want to talk about Caretaker and what your thoughts are on that as a pilot of a Star Trek series. I want to talk about Endgame and whether you thought that was a successful or an unsuccessful way to wrap up Voyager. I want to talk about the nitty gritty. I want to talk about Janeway hairstyles, and I want to talk about Leola Root Stew and all of the Voyager memes that are out there.
Where
and I want to pick them apart in ways
from.
We haven't. Where all those shuttlecraft came from?
Chakotay built them.
Chakotay whittled the shuttlecraft.
He did.
Is that what you're saying?
He did. it's like he did the bathtub, and he's like, "Okay, I can do this. Let me do a shuttlecraft now."
What else could you know? Every time you whittle something new, he's aiming a little higher. Right? First, it's a bathtub, then it's a shuttlecraft. Next thing you know, he's going to build a whole new ship for everyone.
Hey, why not?
Voyager A.
Voyager A. We could have kept going after Year of Hell, and he could have just made a new one. What watches are so passé? Let's have a starship.
I love the watch.
The watch in Year of Hell?
Yes, I love just the symbolism of him giving that to her. I actually cosplayed that Janeway with the watch. That was one of my favorites. Yeah. I had the tank top and everything.
I was wondering if it's a little too early in our run onto the journey to show our cards all the way and reveal what our favorite episode of Voyager is. Should we keep everyone in suspense for a couple more episodes at least?
You want to?
Would Threshold be on anyone's list? That's the question I've got.
Favorite list?
Favorite list.
No.
I don't think so, right?
No.
I can talk lizard babies with the best of them, but no, Threshold doesn't make my list. No. I'll keep you in suspense.
It wouldn't be on my favorite list, but it wouldn't make my least favorite list either. I actually think it's almost quite fashionable to not like Threshold. And I think, although the science is really hokey, and obviously the whole lizard baby thing is just inexplicable, but actually in there's some really good stuff. I actually really like some of the stuff that they have with Tom in sick bay, and that makeup job is incredible. You know, there's some really cool stuff in there.
The makeup is the redeeming factor for that episode. Or else it would just be a total write-off for me. But that makeup was amazing.
I would like to have seen them take the lizard babies back to the ship. You know, build a little aquarium in Janeway's ready room.
Well, I really don't think they should have left them on the planet.
As they grow up, they could be the captain's assistant. You know, there's all kinds of possibilities. Okay, so Threshold doesn't make anyone's list. That's clear, but there's endless fodder to talk about Threshold. I don't know. I like every episode of Voyager, even the ones that are terrible. I find Voyager and I mean this sincerely. You know, there's a reason that I'm on to the journey here with you guys. Voyager is the Star Trek series that I go back to again and again and again. And even the things that aren't that great, I still love. It's almost like for me, even the stuff in Voyager that's not great is like Mystery Science Theater 3000 good, right? It's so bad that you have to love it anyway. And there's endless stuff you can talk about and endless pot shots you can take. And, you know, 90% of Voyager is awesome for me. And there is that 5 or 10% that's not awesome, but I love it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my general sort of way of thinking is that I'm always trying to find the bits that I like. So even if there's an episode that I generally don't like, there's always going to be something in there that I can pick out and go, well, yeah, okay, so it wasn't that great an episode overall, but actually there was this really nice character moment, or there was this little throwaway line, or there was a funny moment, or whatever. You know, I think there's something in there, and I think the things that, you know, fans of Voyager really, really get about Voyager, that it has this really difficult to describe and pin down quality that is unique to Voyager amongst Star Trek. And those are the things that I think that Voyager fans really fixate on and pick up on.
And it wouldn't be Voyager without those things, right? It would be one of the other Star Trek series, right? Voyager has its own unique, it's hard to describe quality. For me, it's a lot about the family. It's a lot about the weird, wacky optimism and, you know, fun things that they do. It's a casual, fun show to watch. And I find it strangely relaxing. I can put it on in the evening and it instantly calms me down. I do it almost, I mean, seriously, this is like confession time. I fall asleep to Voyager almost every night, and that's not an exaggeration.
I love it for the women. I mean, you never see that many women getting together and science. We're going to science the crap out of this. Just making things work. And I think Q called them the ship of the Valkyries. And I love that line. I was like, yes, women taking over. It's about time.
Well, they're out there on their own, right? The rest of the Federation, all the other ships in Starfleet have the luxury of saying, oh, no, we're in an emergency. You know, call the Federation and have them send some more ships out this way.
Call Captain Picard.
Voyager just doesn't have that luxury. Yeah, they've got to figure it out themselves as a family, as a group together. And I love that about Voyager. It's them, and they have to lean on each other in ways that no one else in Star Trek has to do.
Yeah, that's it. That's the last line. That's who you've got, and there's nobody else. You know, you rely on each other, and there's no backup. There's no other support. It's you and no one else.
Yeah, these are no longer your crewmates. This is your family.
And I love that they don't let it get them down, right? You know, think how many of us would be depressed out there in the Delta Quadrant by ourselves with just a few people. You know, you're never going to see your loved ones again. You may never get home. You know, it's a really kind of depressing situation they put them in. But what do? They come up with Fairhaven, and they come up with Captain Proton, and, you know, they, you know, flirt with having relationships that never really come to fruition, sadly. But, you know, they make the most of it together as a group. And I love that they don't let themselves get depressed, with the exception of, like, I'm thinking of, like, Captain Janeway in the episode Night. You know, she gets episodes of depression. You know, she gets down in the dumps about her decision and the situation she's put everyone in. And you can't help but feel for her. It's a lonely situation, and it's a lot on her shoulders. But generally, you know, 99 times out of 100, they make the most of it on Voyager.
Yeah.
Most definitely, they strive to make the most out of the terrible situation that they're put into each and every week.
What I really want to do onto the journey is, I think, you know, I feel like a lot of the time, you know, Voyager really, it gets a bad rep that I think it doesn't deserve. And I think a lot of misconceptions and opinions about Voyager get parroted around the fandom by people who haven't necessarily actually really watched it. That they've just sort of heard about Voyager, and they say what they think about Voyager. It's not really what they think about Voyager. It's what somebody's told them about Voyager that's then been passed on. And there's lots of opinions that are very trendy to have, that you know, it's very popular to go, oh, well, you know, there's not much character depth, and this is a silly character, this is a silly episode. You know, it's they go on the holodeck way too much, and they don't really take things seriously. And I think actually, there are a lot of things in there that are actually not that true, that are very popularly held myth. And I think one of the things that I'd really like to do onto the journey is to actually, you know, get down into the sort of real facts there and say, well, actually, no, this is the case. This is how it actually is. And this thing that you've been saying, well, here are all the reasons why actually that's not really what Voyager is at all. And hopefully maybe find some people who perhaps haven't given Voyager a chance, or haven't even watched it at all, because what they've heard about it will actually give it a bit more of a chance because of that.
Absolutely. I think for me, every time I tell someone who's not a Voyager fan that Voyager is my favorite Star Trek series, I get some strange looks in response. Like, people just don't get it. Either they've never watched it, or it didn't really work for them. I hope to just kind of share the thing I love with other people. I love Voyager. I want to help other people experience what I experience when I watch Voyager. I can get really into it. I'm kind of like Barclay. Like, I lose myself in Voyager. You know, it's such a fascinating conception of a Star Trek. So it's what, being out lost in the Delta Quadrant. In fact, that's kind of like my secret hope for the next Star Trek series, Discovery. I actually hope it's like, okay, they're not lost in this galaxy. Maybe you're like in another galaxy somewhere. You know, just, I love this. They're out on the frontier. They don't have any backup. They only have each other as a family. It's fun and it's interesting. And I want to share the experience of loving Voyager. You know, every one of us is going to love it different ways. Suzanne, you're going to love it your way. Kay, you're going to love it your way. But, you know, I want collectively together onto the journey, I want people to feel the love for these characters and this Star Trek series and this milieu that is Voyager. I want that people to just get the gestalt of it and why it really works for us. I want people to love it like we do.
Oh, definitely. I definitely want to share my love of Voyager with others, but I'm also looking forward to fleshing out some things that were left out of the show, or the way some of the shows ended. I'd like to see what we can come up with as a group to continue that story. Like, I know we had talked previously about fleshing out the ancient legend from Resolutions. I'm looking forward to that immensely.
Yeah.
it's just the difference.
We're going to give the long form version of Chakotay's Eastern Legend.
The different stories that we have to tell and to share with everyone. I'm just looking forward to that.
You know, for me, I don't have a lot of experience with writing. Like Char and Tristan, they are writers, and you know that's what they're doing on their new show, Punch It. You know, they're taking what they've did with To the Journey and rewriting episodes, and they're going to do that with pop culture at large. For me, I just don't have that experience, so I'm gonna take baby steps and take these. Just kind of tread lightly into rewriting episodes and coming up with our own ideas. I don't think I can be quite as ambitious right off the bat as Char and Tristan, but darn it, we're going to do it together. In true Voyager family fashion, the three of us will figure it out. Definitely. We're going to come up with some great stuff.
Way back in the day, I wrote a lot of Voyager fan fiction. A lot. So it's been a while, but I'm looking forward to getting back to that.
I'd like to say way back in the day, I wrote a lot of Voyager fan fiction, but it's way more recent than that.
Out of curiosity. Okay, so I've never written Voyager fan fiction. Mm-hmm. Big confession. I love Voyager in other ways. Fan fiction has not been one of them historically.
Both of you together.
What is the ratio of Janeway Chakotay fan fiction to non-Janeway Chakotay fan fiction that you've written?
That we wrote?
Yes.
Oh, mine was 100%.
100%.
There were no other stories I wanted to tell.
Mine was all Janeway and Chakotay apart from one, and I'm not telling you what that one was.
We're going to get it out of you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. You'll have to work hard.
Well, I'm really excited, you guys, Suzanne and Kay. The three of us are going to do something amazing here on To the Journey. I feel it. There's something in the air. For me, Voyager means a lot to me for all the reasons we've talked about, some of the reasons we haven't talked about yet that we're going to talk about down the road. To the Journey in particular as a show on Trek FM has meant a lot to me for reasons we've talked about. And I'm just beyond thrilled to be here with you guys to take over To the Journey. I can't wait to see what things we're going to talk about. It's going to be amazing. We're going to do things that we never thought we were going to be able to do from a podcasting standpoint. And we're going to share our love of Voyager together, and it's going to be awesome. So I can't wait to, continue the journey. And in true spirit of To the Journey, it's all about the journey. And you and I, the three of us, are on this journey together from here on out. And I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a great time. I hope you listeners give us a chance. I think it's hard to take over a show that like To the Journey that's had 190 episodes with personalities like Char and Tristan's. I think from our standpoint, we just hope you give us a chance. We hope you follow Char and Tristan. Go listen to them on Punch It. They're going to do amazing things, writing new episodes of pop culture and across pop culture fandoms. But here on To the Journey, we're going to keep talking Voyager, and we hope you give us a chance, and we hope you keep supporting Trek FM. And frankly, just keep tuning in. So next week, we're going to bring another episode of To the Journey to you. We're going to keep Voyager discussion happening, and we're going to do great things together. I'm really excited.
So really, we've only had a chance to touch on some of the things that we're going to really flesh out in detail with you. We're very excited with all the ideas that we've got, all the sort of things we want to pull out of episodes, things we want to talk about with characters, and really sort of get into the nitty-gritty of everything. It's been really, really fun coming to you with this first episode, but that's not the only thing we've been talking about this week on Trek FM. Here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
So going to Destination Star Trek and being able to see the crew, some of the major, still living members of the 60s original series crew, well, it's a bit of a bucket list moment for me.
Saturday Morning Trek.
And all these things just brought in more and more people who thought they were alone, and they found each other, and they made their clubs, and then they made conventions, and that's what the 70s were about, was getting Star Trek back and finding each other.
Melodic Treks.
Imagine that scene without that music. That music is so poignant and so beautiful. And they played it earlier in the episode, and it wasn't sad when they played it earlier. It was romantic. It was happy. It was freeing.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us out a lot, and it makes it easier for other listeners to find the shows as they search iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website, and you can grab the RSS link as well.
Another way you can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week is to become a patron of the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all of the great perks we have for you. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on our content development team, and more. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
So before we wrap up the show, there are a few people that we want to thank for this first episode of To the Journey, what we're calling To the Journey 2.0. We want to thank, of course, Charlene Schmidt and Tristan Riddell, the hosts you've come to know and love on To the Journey who came before us. We also want to thank one of the original hosts of To the Journey, Lori Sears. If you go back and listen to To the Journey's back catalog, you'll hear Lori on the first 50 episodes of To the Journey. She and Char and Tristan started To the Journey together, and we would not be here without them. So we want to thank all three of them. We also want to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, our executive producers, one of whom is Charlene Schmidt, Matthew Rushing, and Kenneth Tripp. We want to thank our art director, Aaron Harvey. We want to thank our production manager, Richard Marquez. And we have some fabulous associate producers on To the Journey. Again, we hope you stick it out with us and give us a chance as the new host of To the Journey. We want to thank Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Beliso, and Ju Kim. We could not do To the Journey without you. And we want to thank you for your support of the show and for the Trek FM network in general.
And don't forget to check out Enterprise in Space, a project of the nonprofit National Space Society. Visit enterpriseinspace.org to find out more and get your seat on the mission. Also check out audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get your free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
So we would really love it if you wanted to contact us and let us know what you think about Voyager in general, anything that we've said today, anything that you'd like us to talk about. There are lots of different ways that you can do that. If you go to our website, we have a form there. Just go to trek.fm/contact. You can look in the sidebar on our To the Journey show page on the Trek FM website to leave us a voicemail, or you can go to speakpipe.com/trekfm. You can find us on Twitter. Our handle there is @trekfm. You can find us on Facebook under Trek FM. And you can also find us in our listeners-only group, the Babel Conference. That's B-A-B-E-L. If you type that into the search field, you'll be able to find us there. It's a closed group for listeners only. But if you join there, someone will let you right on in and you can come and join the discussion with us all there. We also invite you to leave us a review and a rating on iTunes. And we really like to hear any feedback or suggestions that you have for the show. Zachary, where can people find you if they want to talk to you about anything that we've said today?
Well, you can kind of find me all over the network these days. You can find me on several recent episodes of The Ready Room, Trek FM's flagship show. I am co-host of MetaTrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, along with Mike Morrison. And you can find me on Twitter if you want to follow me there. My handle is just my name, @ZacharyFruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, and Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G.
Suzanne, how about you? Where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on the interwebs on Twitter. My handle is @KJaneway8. That's the letter K, Janeway, and the number 8. You can also find me lurking around the Babel Conference.
That's great. Well, if anybody wants to contact me, I'm also quite regularly in the Babel Conference. And if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle is @ChocoWeeble.
Well, Zach, Kay, it's been great talking about our mutual love of Janeway and Chakotay. But that's just the beginning of our story. We have so much more to cover. But until then, this has been To the Journey.